the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Steve Georgie, president of Allendale. We'll talk USDA reports in just a moment. Kurt Blades is senior vice president with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Recently, the group looked into the future of food production and identified 13 traits, including artificial intelligence, or AI.
Closely related to that is artificial intelligence, and I think we're just at the cusp of what that means, to have, you know, insights driving everything that we do, whether it's a tractor and a sprayer that can identify a weed versus the crop you're trying to grow and immediately spray it or till it, and then also learn what that health looks like. I think we're on the cusp of some really cool things on using artificial intelligence to allow that to enable some really neat insight in our farming.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Steve Georgie. Steve is president of Allendale. And first off, Steve, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on today.
And let's get a little background first off about you and then about Allendale, because it's important, I think, to set the stage so we get a little background about where you're coming from.
You bet. You know, I've been lucky to be in the industry and for almost 18 years now. I am the president over here at Allendale, and have seen a lot of things, you know, been through the rides of 2008 and 2012, and now here we're back in a ride again. But, you know, so seen a lot of things from a personal side, but the company itself, we're a agricultural commodity firm, and we specialize specifically on grains and livestock. And not only that, we also take, we do a lot of daily commentary that we get sent out that you either can get that emailed, or there's videos that get sent out, which a lot of guys are starting to transition to more of that because everybody seems like they're on the go. And so it's just got a different flavor to it. But we put out commentary every single day, but we also put out report commentary specifically for things like today. And we have that out a couple days ahead of that report just to prepare people as we go into that.
Well, let's jump into the reports. USDA out with their May World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report. And as we start kind of breaking this down, there's a few things in that USDA report that I think many of us already knew, and that was the rate of abandonment for the winter wheat crop, the hard red winter wheat crop through Texas, Oklahoma, portions of Kansas. Drought has taken it. In many instances, the wheat never even came up, never emerged. So we're seeing that from USDA. Is that playing into it?
Yeah. You know, and with a big, big move out of wheat today, leading the grain markets higher, and at one point going limit up, KC wheat was up 70 cents. We settled right near that limit, but not on limit. But I think, as you mentioned, that is a big reason and why we're doing that. Looking at good to excellent numbers week after week, we know it has been tough. Now they've kind of confirmed that here today and really seeing that decline in those wheat areas. And now it has shown on a balance sheet. So the market is almost getting ready to say, hey, if we've seen one instance in which we've gone ahead and cut production and cut numbers, this is only going to lead for further cuts down the road. Now, I don't know if that will be the case or not, but you look at that, the market was prepared for some of that rhetoric here today, but yet we still were able to climb. We had a very strong close, closed into new contract highs here for Kansas City wheat, and that certainly looks good. So we'll see if we can get that follow through again tomorrow, at least for the wheat market.
The corn crop now, the U.S. corn crop, USDA cutting that a little more. With everything that's happening in Ukraine and Russia, is this just adding fuel to that fire?
I think a lot of that fire has already been set. You know, we need to start seeing it adjusted on this balance sheet. And when you look at what USDA had done for us today, old crop corn coming in just above the estimate, the average estimate, but 1.44 billion carryout for old crop, still in line with where these markets are currently at. But new crop, first look, right? We had that planting intentions report in March, and we've gone ahead and we've now adjusted new crop numbers using those acreage numbers that we had in March. So we had a severe drop. Now we're starting to get, as just as you mentioned, you've got planting delays. So now we're starting to get delays. And so as you get these planting delays, it's not so much that the crop's not going to get in the ground. It's now that will we get after a certain date, and usually it's May 14th, but after that date, you start seeing USDA take that yield number and start reducing that yield a little bit. So trend line yield this year, trend line should be close to a 180 to 181 as far as corn yield. USDA just gave us on this report a 177. So they have already recognized the fact that we now could end up seeing reduction or a reduction here for yield because of the delay, but we're going to have to see for further cuts down the road. But that new crop number coming in at a 1.36 billion carryout, they did end up cutting the demand side for that crop, for new crop, which is why we have that a little bigger than what the trade was looking for here today. But expect to see some choppy trade the next few months. We're going to start shifting away from the report and really start looking at the weather through the Midwest, whether or not that drought or dryness continues, and the heat. Does the heat end up continuing as well? And that's going to really tell the sign here as we get into June, July, and August.
China, the big buyer of U.S. sorghum, but is that something that also works its way into the conversation for those growers and for that sorghum industry?
Yeah, you know, and that's something that you do, and as you mentioned sorghum, the thing it's kind of the animal in the room that we have to watch out for, and really it's what is China doing? When you talk about sorghum, you talk about market attitude. There's a lot of things that play into the corn market. There's a lot of things that kind of get affected, but as you mentioned, our exports are so good to China. What happens if? What happens if China's economy starts to slow down? Well, we're seeing that. China's stock market has been in the tank here lately, and that has been just a negative drag, not only on the global markets, but our markets as well. So the idea is, will we see their exports be consistent again? The soybean market may have the same problem. But the thing is, though, is that right now they're trying to get, first off, what kind of inflation rate are they looking at? They've had COVID shutdowns yet where we're seeing that getting worse, not better. And then, of course, not only that, it is affecting their housing, it's affecting their markets, and that may have an effect on us until we see a better control over China and get those exports back. But, you know, it is something that they've been buying what they need, but I don't know if that's going to be fixed here anytime soon.
I would normally take us right into that soybean. Seems like you teed that up for us, but I think there's another area that you've opened the door to talk about, and that's the equities, and that's the stock market, and just the general rate of inflation that we're seeing. I heard somebody say it, we're not just dealing with the black swan events anymore. It's the entire flock here now.
Yeah.
So how do we work that into what we're looking at?
You know, and it's a lot of that becomes feelings, right? Hearsay. What do we get? You've had a stock market that over the last 6 years had gone from 18,000 to 36. It doubled. So 36,000 for the Dow and some change. Now we're sitting just over 31,000 here today. We've had about a 5,000-6,000 point retracement, and guys are now concerned yet again that maybe we can continue to grind lower as far as our equity markets. And so the big thing that we're watching right now, as you mentioned, inflation. It is hard. It's been very, very hard. How do we curb inflation? We know that it's tough to find products. We know there's supply chain problems and issues, and those are getting worse. And so this is where that fear and panic may be worse in the short term here the next few months as we finish this quarter, because we saw after first quarter GDP was down. So if we get another quarter with negative GDP, now you're going to have every TV station, you name it, whatever, talking about we're now in a recession. So as you start seeing that, that has a very negative connotation. It has a very negative demeanor to it. And it is fear coming out of a market versus coming into a market. And that may keep things under pressure here, at least for the next while. until we figure out where we currently stand. But it's almost like we're preparing for that recessionary talk to happen here at the end of June, but we need to be very careful of that, because in the big picture, when we talk about the grain markets and we talk about why we're at such high prices for a lot of this stuff, is because we have seen this big managed money, the big pool of money come pouring into a market, and we need that help in order to get us to these price levels. Pure speculation isn't going to get you there. But you've got this idea, bigger money wants to come in, own commodities. Well, what's going to happen if these equities continue to have pressure? You're going to find commodities have pressure right along with it, because that big pool of money now is going to say, hey, guess what? I don't want to be as long, or I don't want as much risk when you have other risk that's hitting you from a different side. So you see that almost that, hey, I'm going on the defense mode, and you start to see that big pool of money start to tighten. So we got to be prepared for that. Yes, things may be bullish out there. Things could be friendly. They could be whatever. But the equities right now are kind of showing that hat, saying, hey, guys, be careful. Because if equities continue to decline, that may keep this rally that we've seen, or this market move and this all this hype and excitement, it might take it down a notch. So equities will be playing a big part of what we're going to do here as we go into the next few quarters.
Well, we've got just about a minute left, but it's a great opportunity that there is an opportunity to have a plan here as a grower, or if you're looking to hedge or whatever. Is that something Allendale can help with? And if so, where do we find out more?
Absolutely. This is exactly what we do. You know, we're stuck to these markets. We have the eyes on the markets here when you guys don't. And be glad to help in any way we can, even if it's just, hey, what's happening today, just to stay involved, because the involvement right now is extremely important. And that is where you can reach us at 1-800, the number 2-MARKET. So 1-800-2-MARKET. Call me. Let me help you. Let's talk about it. Let's just have a conversation. Or you can find us right on the web, allendale-inc.com, and get our information there and our daily commentary to stay in tune as well.
Again, Steve Georgie is president of Allendale in the Chicago area, allendale-inc.com. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Hey, even if you're just a part-time farmer, you still need a full-time tractor to mow, help you with hay, handle general chores, and a whole lot more. That's why you need to check out the complete line of newly improved compact and utility tractors from Massey Ferguson, now engineered to be more comfortable and more versatile than ever. See the newly redesigned Massey Ferguson GC 1700 series and the larger, more powerful 2700 series today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Steve Georgie with Allendale.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. You can find out more about Allendale online, allendale-inc.com.
We all want to work quickly and effectively on the farm. Livingston Machinery has the all-in-one machine to make it happen. The MLT 840 telescopic handler from Manitou with a max capacity of 8,800 pounds is the ideal choice for all of your rough terrain farm handling tasks, including feeding, harvesting work, and bulk loading. With a variety of attachments and an impressive 115 horsepower, your to-do list never dwindled so fast. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The effort to feed the world's growing population is under a strain at the moment, partly because of disruptions in food supplies coming out of Ukraine. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told a Senate budget hearing Tuesday.
We have a twin challenge here. We've got an immediate global food security challenge by virtue of the disruption that the invasion has caused and the impact it's going to have on unstable, potentially unstable conditions in the Middle East and North Africa because of food shortages.
The response to that challenge has been sending emergency food to nations normally dependent on supplies from Ukraine. But Vilsack said this global food situation plus climate change would necessitate an increase in food production by U.S. farmers.
And one thing we could do is look for ways, creative ways to help double cropping opportunities, expand the number of counties that are insured, figure out other administrative ways to make it easier for farmers, reducing the risk of double cropping.
Meanwhile, Vilsack visits Germany and Poland this week to get a better idea of the Ukrainian ag situation. Gary Crawford, Washington.